Right, Hebrews chapter 13 is where we're going. Hebrews chapter 13, we're just going to continue on. We finished chapter 12 last week, and we're just going to continue on into chapter 13 and keep studying through this chapter. Trust it'll be a blessing to you. A lot of practical stuff here in chapter 13, and so trust it'll be a blessing. It's good to have Pastor Luz with us, and Sister Michelle, and Sister Chloe. Good to have the three of them with us. Be praying for Pastor Luz. He's going to be preaching for us Sunday night, so that'll be a blessing. He pastors a church down in Adelaide, and so it's a blessing to have them with us tonight. And good to have you with us, and looking forward to him preaching for us Sunday evening. So be praying for him as he prays and prepares and all those things. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. It's a big verse. Let brotherly love continue. That's all it says. That's the entire verse. And that's the subject we're looking at this evening, brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. Now, as I said before, chapter 13 is full of practical exhortations for Christian behavior. If you look back in the previous chapters that we've been in particularly chapter 11 and chapter 12, but even if you go back through Hebrews and you look back through there, Paul's exhorting the Hebrew believers basically what to believe. But now he's speaking to them about how they need to behave. What you believe is really important. And what your doctrine is and what your theology is really important as a Christian. You've got to believe something. You need to have some convictions. There is black and white. There is right and wrong. There is truth and error. And what you believe is really important. But can I say to you this evening, just what you believe isn't all there is. How you behave is really important as well. Not just what you believe, but how you behave. And how you behave toward your brothers and sisters in a local church is very important. I'm talking to you this evening about your treatment of those in your church family. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, if you just flick back a page or two, have a look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. As we gather together as a church family, we are to provoke one another unto love and good works, but we're to provoke one another unto love. And here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, there's a clear exhortation, clear commandment to let brotherly love continue. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this evening, and we'll get into this thought. My Lord, we're thankful for the scriptures. Thankful, Lord, for your goodness and grace, the opportunity to be able to sing, opportunity to be able to gather together. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon us tonight. Pray your hand to be upon us. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit, that you'd help me, Lord, to be able to teach and preach your word. Help me to be a blessing to those that have come to the effort of being here tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'd just bless our time together. May you be honored and glorified, and may Jesus be magnified. May your saints be helped. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we're looking at is love towards your brothers and sisters and how we are to behave ourselves in this regard. Now, there's lots of different behavior we could talk about, right? There's all sorts of different behavior we could talk about when it comes to our interaction with one another. But the subject tonight is let brotherly love continue. That's where we're up to. Now, let me say this in starting out. Evidently, they already loved each other because he said, let it continue. He wasn't rebuking them for a lack of love. He just said, let it continue on. He acknowledged that they loved one another, but he said, just keep on loving one another. Let it continue. I want you to notice that it's a command. And so I want you to notice point number one this evening is the command. Let brotherly love continue. It's not a suggestion. It is a command in Scripture, all the way through Scripture. I'm going to get you to turn to a couple of spots, but let me just read off a couple, quote you a couple, and then we'll turn to a few passages as well. But in regards to the command to love one another, John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, we are made up of Sunshine Baptist Church. We're made up of a motley crew of all sorts of different people, different cultures, different nationalities, different family makeups, and all sorts of things. Different religious backgrounds. We're made up of we're a motley crew. And there's a lot of different things out there, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different backgrounds. But one thing we're told to do is love one another. And to have a love towards one another. It's not a suggestion, it's a clear command in Scripture according to John 13:34. In fact, it's one of the defining marks of a disciple of Christ is that you love one another. We go down here to the RSL, they don't love one another, they put up with each other. You can go to the local football club, they don't love one another, they enjoy each other's company and they put up with one another. But Christians are to love one another. John 15 and 17 says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." There's two verses with the word command. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9? It says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Not only are we commanded of God to love one another, in fact, God teaches you to love one another. Not only are we commanded in Scripture, but God teaches you that. When God saves us, He teaches us to love our brethren. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the King." Turn with me, if you would please, to 1 John chapter 4. You might want to put a marker in 1 John. It says an awful lot about love in 1 John. We're going to be there in a few different chapters tonight. We're going to start here in this one. We're looking at the command, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, but I just recommend you bookmarking 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. Folks, we're looking at the commandment to love one another, talking to you about how we are to behave when we come together as a church. "If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother or his sister, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." It says there in that first verse, in verse 20, it says, if a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. So if you say you love God, but you have hatred in your heart towards a brother or sister, you're a liar. That's not my opinion, that's what the Bible says. Okay? That's what the Bible says. So if you say you love God, but you have hatred in your heart towards one of his children, you're lying to yourself. It goes on and says, "For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" So you're saying that you love a God you've never seen, but you hate a brother who you've laid, or a sister who you've laid eyes on. There's an inconsistency there, is what the Scriptures are saying. Have a look at verse 21. Again, is this word commandment. I'm telling you, to have brotherly love, to have Christian love, brotherly love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ is not a suggestion in Scripture. It's a flat-out command from God. "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." There's a mandate from God. If you're going to love him, you love his people. If you're going to love God, you love his people. And if you don't love his people, you don't love God. That's the balance of that scripture. You don't really love God if you don't love his church and you don't love his people. Turn with me now. We'll go to the second point. So there's the command. Now notice the warning in 1 John chapter 2. Go across to 1 John chapter 2. Very practical stuff tonight. Talking about love. 1 John chapter 2. Notice verse 8. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him." But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And he continues on. Do you see the warning there? If the warning is this, that if you have hatred in your heart towards one of God's children, you're not in the light, you're in darkness. And that's a bad place to be. So, brethren, the command is to love the brethren, is to love your brothers and love your sisters. The warning is, if you don't love your brother or your sister, you're in darkness, you're not in light. You're out of fellowship with God at the very least. Okay, we've seen the commandment, we've seen the warning. Now, this is the really important point. Point number three, the definition. We need to define what love is. Let brotherly love continue. Well, what is biblical love? First place we need to go is 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 4 down through verse 7. We're defining what love is. Now, let me start out by saying what it's not. It's not a warm, gooey feeling. Let me tell you, when I walk in here and see you, I don't feel all warm and gooey towards you most of the time. And you don't when you see me. It's not about a warm, mushy feeling. It's not what it's about. That's not biblical love. Biblical love isn't about a feeling. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Charity, which is love in action, okay? We see the word charity through here, but it's love in action, biblical love in action. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You're going to love your brothers and sisters. You're going to have to suffer long with them. And while you're putting up with them, you're going to have to be kind to them. Charity envieth not. You're going to love your brothers and sisters. You better not envy your brothers and sisters. Well, how come she gets to do that? And how come he gets to do that? And well, how come she gets to drive that? And how come he got that? And No. That's not love. That's envy. And love, charity in action, does not envy your brothers and your sisters. Let's think about a spiritual conduct. Well, how come? Well, they've got that spiritual gift, and why don't I have that? Wish I had that. That's not where you should be. It's not how it is. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity does not promote self. Charity does not puff up self. Charity does not boast about self. In fact, charity lifts others up and puts self down. And we'll see that later. Verse 5, charity does not behave itself unseemly. See, it's got to do with your behavior. And to behave unseemly is to behave inappropriately, in an unchristian manner. Seeketh not our own. Charity seeks not self-interest. If you love your brothers and you love your sisters, you seek their interest, not your interest. It's not about you, it's about others. Isn't that the whole example of Jesus? He came looking not to promote himself and better himself and improve his own position, but to improve the position of the world. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. If you're going to have love for your brother and for your sister, you're going to have to not be easily agitated, easily provoked into an argument, and easily provoked to envy, easily provoked to jealousy, easily provoked to frustration and anger and all these different emotions. Not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You ever sat there on the church pew and a thought goes through your mind about someone sitting in front of you or across the auditorium, and it's just a thought out of nowhere, but it's a bad thought? Like, I bet you they think this about me. Or, you know what their problem is? Charity thinketh no evil. Don't allow the devil to put those thoughts in your mind and cause you to think evil about your brother or sister. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's not rejoicing in sin, but rather rejoiceth in truth. Verse 7, charity, love in action, beareth all things. That word beareth, it just means to forbear. It just means to put up with. And listen, if you're going to love me how God wants you to love me, you're just going to have to bear some things where it comes with me. Because we're different. And we're not talking about putting up with sin, but we're talking about putting up with personality. We're talking about putting up with little quirks. You know, I'm sure I irritate some of you with my personality, my sense of humour, the way I do things, all that sort of stuff, because we're different. And just like you're different to me. And love, brotherly love, sisterly love, just bears some things. Just forbears, puts up with. You don't have to complain about it. You don't have to try and change it. It's just bear with it. Beareth all things, hopeth all things. Got some hope, some faith. And then, well, it just sort of picks it up a notch here at the end, endureth. You know, that's another level from bearing. Just endure all things. We're seeking to define what brotherly love is. Well, you can't go any better than that definition there. And it's a fairly full definition, isn't it? But let me give you a few other verses. And I'll just read a couple of these and we'll turn to one towards the end for the sake of time. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Be kind. Remember, we're defining what love is. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. If I'm going to have brotherly love and sisterly love towards you, you're going to have brotherly love and towards me. It's having a kind affection towards. Just being affectionate. A kind affection. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know what love does? Love isn't only kindly affectionate, but love serves. And if I love you, I'm going to serve you. And if you're going to love me, you're going to serve me. If we're going to demonstrate love towards one another, it's going to take serving one another. That means you putting your interest aside and looking out for the interest of somebody else. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. So it says, walk in love, and then it says, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us. So I'm supposed to walk in love like Christ walked in love and gave himself. You know how you're going to love somebody? By giving of yourself. You're going to have to give yourself to people. Do you know what that means? That means you're going to get used. You're going to get walked over. You're going to get insulted. You're going to be abused. That's going to happen. That's what happened to Jesus. He came and he gave himself. They spat on him. They whipped him. They ridiculed him. They nailed him to, they falsely accused him. They nailed him to the cross. They crucified him. They mocked him while he was on the cross. And they did it all just because he came and loved them and gave himself for them. He never did one thing wrong. But yet they treated him that way. And I'm saying to you, if you're going to love people, you are going to get hurt. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Why? Well, because people don't always love back. That's why. You serve people, people don't always serve back. You show kind affection towards someone, they don't always show kind affection back. But that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it just to follow the example of Jesus and just to be obedient. You're not doing it to gain something in return. Well, I'd love them if they'd just stop doing that and they'd start loving me back. Well, that's not how Jesus loved the world. And that's not how we're called to love one another. We're called to love one another regardless. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth. Oh, turn there, would you please? 1 Peter 1:22. This is an important one because of the society we live in. You know, the society we live in is a very fake society, particularly with things like social media. You know, you can portray a certain image on social media and it be completely, we're going to use a biblical word, feigned. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. So it's talking about having a pure heart and it's talking about loving fervently, okay? But I want you to notice up there, it says, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned is sincere, unhypocritical. You see, certain personalities can walk into a church because of their personality. They can walk in and they're all bubbly and a big smile and, you know, just all sappy and syrupy, and they can do that, and that is some people's definition of love. But on the inside, that's just all outward, and anyone can bung that on. I mean, even I can do that if I want to. Would you like to see me try on Sunday? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? It makes me feel sick just thinking about it. It's not about bunging on a fake smile. It's not about being all effervescent and all that. It's not what it's about. It's about a sincere, deep love for your brethren. And we'll look a bit deeper at that in a minute. It says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So love as brethren, on one side it speaks of having compassion. The other side it speaks of being pitiful and courteous. Now go with me, please, to 1 John 3. And this is, I was talking about being unfeigned, okay? Being sincere, unhypocritical. I mean genuine. Has anyone ever come to you and you know, you're talking to them and they're saying stuff and it just seems disingenuous? And you can sort of like, yeah, righto. So notice what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, and notice what it says in verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother, notice this, is a murderer. So to hate your brother, to hate someone, is to have murder in your heart towards them. So just because you're upset with someone doesn't mean you hate them. Okay? To have hatred is to have murderous intent toward them. Now I've lost my place. Where are we up to? 15. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17, I want you to notice this verse. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, it's not about what you say. See, you can come in and you can bung it on and you can say all syrupy stuff and still have hatred in your heart. But where the rubber meets the road is when your brother or sister has a need. Do you love them enough to sacrifice what you have to give to them to meet their need? You see, it's not about being syrupy. It's not about being sappy. It's not about got to overlook everything and just love everybody. That's not biblical love. Biblical love says, sister, you're wrong. Brother, you're in error. Doing it graciously, but sometimes if you love someone, you're going to tell them, you're heading in a bad direction. See, loving people isn't just accepting everything, but loving, real love here, the definition of love here is when you see your brother or sister have a need, you open up your bank account, you open up your fridge, you open up your closet, you go to your vegetable garden, you do whatever it is to be able to meet the need of that brother or sister. And if you know that there's a brother or sister that has need and you're not prepared to meet that need, you don't love them. It doesn't matter how you come in here on Sunday morning, how sappy you are, it doesn't mean one little thing. What it does mean, what does count, is are you willing to sacrifice self for somebody else? That's real love. You see, it's not just some bubbly outward show. And I'm not saying we all ought to get around like robots and all act like me and all act, you know, not friendly and all that sort of thing. Nothing wrong with if you're a friendly person, be a friendly person, be yourself. But just because someone's not a friendly person does not mean they don't love anybody. Do you see that? Okay. Right. Last point and then we'll finish. How in the world do we do this? The fourth point is the enabling. 1 John chapter 4, the enabling. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. I want you to notice that the context there is all about love and loving one another. Okay? Do you see that? From verse 7 all the way down. And then it says in verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. You will not be able to love your brethren how you're supposed to love your brethren outside of the aid of the Holy Ghost of God. Because you don't have it in you. The only way that I can love my brethren is by the love, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, The only way I can love my brethren is by the love that God has shed abroad in my heart. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God has shed abroad his love in my heart through the person of the Holy Ghost of God. It's only through the aid of the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Spirit, that you'll be able to love your brethren as Christ loved us. That's it. You know, we're told to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we're looking at that on Sunday evenings, being full of the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing. But you know, Galatians chapter 5 very plainly says the fruit of the Spirit, first one, is love. If I'm not full of the Holy Ghost, and if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to have a hard time loving each other. It's just that simple. But if we'd empty ourselves as ourselves and get full of the Holy Spirit, we'd be able to love one another as we ought to. Our verse for tonight, let brotherly love continue. How's your behavior? How are you interacting? Are you doing it with self-interest? I mean, do you even care? Do you even notice? Do you even see? Or is it just all about you? God help us to allow brotherly love to continue.